how can we manage private clouds, hybrid clouds, or even though Azure from a system center point of view, how can we utilize system center to manage our environment? Can I just start asking here? I did ask that yesterday, the answer wasn't good for me. How many of you already deployed of Hyper-V deployed? One, two, oh, that's a better number. VMware? Oh, God. So can I just ask, when you say VMware, is that a mix of VMware and Hyper-V, or is just full VMware? Because I'm really interested, so a lot of people from VMware come here. That is actually very good. It's a mix. No. Good. That's going to be interesting. So how many of you also deployed System Center? Great. Okay, so, no? I'm going. Just to talk, show a little bit about who am I. So I am a Practice Manager for Insight. I'm also a Microsoft MVP for Virtualization. And I just wrote this book. I'm going to give one or two today, depending on how, if I'm going to ask some questions, someone answer that, then I will give at least one or two books. That's all right. So let's start a little bit. Why should we choose System Center as our management platform? Today, as I just asked, which hypervisor you have, VMware, Citrix, Microsoft Hyper-V, I think the decision actually relies on the management layer. So that's a key decision here, is which software are we going to use to manage our hypervisor. We can use System Center to manage Citrix, to manage Microsoft, to manage VMware. It is possible to use just one software to manage all those three if you have a mixed environment. So why should we stick with System Center? One of the biggest features that I really like on System Center is the possibility to manage network virtualization. So how many of you here already know about network virtualization? So I will just explain better what is network virtualization. We know what server virtualization is actually having a physical server running as a virtual, it's a file running inside of another physical machine, so I can have like more than one server running on top of other server. So with network virtualization, how about if I have a multi-tenant environment, or some people say, I don't have a multi-tenant environment, it's just myself. But how about we have like a dev, test, stage, or production environment, and I only have a few servers and I want to share that service with both dev and production. On a way that, sorry if there is any dev here, I was a dev before, so just to be clear. So the developers not screw up my production environment. So how can I ensure without having to go through VLANs, setting up switches, of having anything, how about I can create some kind of pool on my virtualization layer or on everything on my resources and just assign that to them and they cannot do anything here on my production only for them. So that's why System Center can help you with this. So first we can create what we call like a cloud, and on that, when we create a cloud, you can actually associate some resources to this cloud. Let's say, for example, 20% of everything assigned to this, or the number you think about. Also, I did assign the resources, but what about the network? I don't want a machine here that my dev is working having to interfere on my production environment. How can I balance this? How can I ensure there'll be no issues with that? That's what network virtualization will help you. So you can have, for example, a dev machine with like your website with the IP 10.1.1.5, for example. And the beauty of this, you can have the same machine here running even on the same physical server, production website 10.1.1.5, so same IP. So two virtual machines on the same physical server with both with the same IP, without VLAN at all. Why this is very good? Not only I don't need to set up VLANs, so it takes you the hassle to do anything on your switch or anything like this, but also one of the things I remember when I was a developer, and I used to blame the network, and the network guy used to blame me, was I developed the code, I published it to my test web server, and I give the code to the network guy or someone to publish on production, and something's wrong. It was or the dev fault or the infrastructure fault because they didn't know how to set up. By using this, you can just copy everything from the dev and publish it to production. Everything will be exactly the same, same IP, same configuration. You just copy from here to here. So there was no one, some, oh, now you did some change on a configuration because of the IPs. No, you did not, because you can use the same IP. Everything will be the same. So that's one of the scenarios for network virtualization. There are plenty more. Like if you are a hosting company and you want to host a lot of customers and you actually don't even need to know what IP the customer will have on the virtual machine, you can host plenty, as long as your hardware does support, plenty of virtual machines on the same cluster or same physical machine. Doesn't matter the IP. You don't even need to know the IP the virtual machine is going to run. Okay, so this is just one example. There are plenty more. Another one that I like, if you have a .NET application, Operations Manager will actually, is built-in, you don't need to install any management pack, will monitor your .NET application. That is just great. Another one I can think about, management packs. So as I said, if you have like a mixed environment of VMware, Citrix, or Hyper-V, you can actually monitor those as well. Not only manage, you can actually monitor your VMware environment or your Citrix environment together with Hyper-V. What more here? Fiber channel. Who here does have fiber channel? One of the things we have fiber channel exposed to the guest. Do you know why? Someone here does have that application, like SQL cluster. SQL server on a cluster. When we have SQL server on a cluster, we probably need guest clustering. Guest clustering means that somehow, because SQL is not running on the parent partition, the physical machine is running on a guest, I need to share virtual hard disk or some of the storage with SQL. So that one of the ways to do this is to have, for example, we can use fiber channel exposed to the guest operation system. So this is new on Windows 2012, but System Center 2012 couldn't manage this. You had to use Hyper-V Manager. Now it is supported on System Center 2012 R2. So there is another feature that is supported on, that is only on 2012 R2, which is I have one virtual hard disk, one, and I want to share that with two physical machines. You can. It's called shared virtual hard disk, and especially good for SQL cluster. So let's go. So as I did told, so pool, compute, storage, networking resources, network virtualization, self-service, chargeback. Chargeback is pretty interesting, especially when you have multi-tenant environments where I need to prove to my customer or to a department how much did they use of the resources. For example, if they're using 20% of CPU memory, how much they're using of each resources, there's a report saying that's the amount of resources used from my server. So you need Operations Manager and Virtual Machine Manager in order to have this. So the key areas that we have improvement on 2012 are two: storage, networking, services, VMs, and clouds. So I'm just going to put this, and then I'm going to show a demo. This is one of the things that I really love on System Center. And today, when I set up my physical servers, I need to connect to storage, especially when I have cluster. So every time I need to set up a virtual machine, what I need to do? I need probably to go to my storage and ask them to provision a LAN, right? So I can actually connect to my physical servers and then I set up. That's normally how it happens. But how about if I tell you, you can go to your vendor, buy a server, and that server is empty, nothing. I just connect that server to the network. And from System Center, you can go to the console and say, I want this server to be connected to the storage, to create a LAN for that. I also want to deploy Windows on that machine. I want to install Hyper-V on that machine. I want that machine to be part of a cluster. Everything from System Center, you didn't actually left the console. You don't need to go to the storage console. You don't need to go to the network. You don't need to do anything. You do everything from System Center. You don't need to actually to go physically to the machine or even iDRAC or whatever the software you use to connect to your physical machine to install the OS. You don't need to do this. You can do everything from System Center. You can deploy a cluster server from scratch. Nothing. Just bought the server, plug into the network. Of course, it's not, Alessandro said, that's so simple. Of course, you need to have System Center configured for this, right? So we need to have, for example, some of the prereqs is BMC on the server. You need to support BMC. Today, most of the vendors do support IBM, HP, Dell. So most of them do support BMC. That's one of the prereqs. So then you have to have System Center, VMM, WSAS, and some other servers that will allow you to do this. So I will show the big picture here, what you need. But it's actually fantastic. You just need, there'll be a fighting now because I have access to the storage and I don't need to go to the storage guy and ask him to create the, I actually don't need the storage guy anymore. That's a fighting now. That is good fighting, because before, in order to set up any server, I need to go to the storage guy and say, I need this, and it takes 2 days, 3 days for them to do something in 10 minutes. Now, you just do this from the console. So, it's not all storage. The storage needs to be compliant with VMM, okay? You need to double check if your storage does have SMIS provider. So it needs to have SMIS provider and needs to be compatible with VMM. So make sure if you are in the process of buying a storage that is compatible with VMM. So here are some of the examples. We have Compellent, EMC, HP, Itachi, Tripa, NetApp, some of the storages. But there is a website you can just Bing. VMM and storage, you'll find out there is plenty of articles, especially from Microsoft, stating which storage are compatible with this. So let's see here. Okay, so this is my VMM. So I have here three machines. I brought three machines, switch. So I bought everything to do, to try to do the demo live as much as I could. One of my recommendations here, and actually is a best practice from Microsoft, is never have VMM installed on your production cluster. It's like having your eggs on the same basket. Why? Because you want to manage your production. You need to have VMM here. Why is this? And even on a small environment, I do recommend this. I actually did a deployment last week for a customer. 3 servers. I had to put another machine just for System Center. Why I did this? Because I want the customer, next time he buy a machine from System Center, he can set up everything. I will show you exactly why when I start showing the network. Because I need to set up the server, if I am running on that server, I can't set up. So it's like, in order for you to create the network, when you install Hyper-V, you create the virtual switches. Right? So I do create the virtual switches. But System Center needs to create the virtual switch as well, in order for you to manage the other servers and to have a standard deployment on the other servers. You don't want to go to every server. We talk about 3, let's talk about 100. I don't want to go to all 100 servers configuring, right? I want to go to System Center and ask them to set up all the servers for me, all the networks to be exactly the same name, same configuration, everything. So you need to do this on System Center, so you need to have System Center not on your production. So that's the recommendation, is for you to have System Center running here, and then your production environment here. So, let me just show here. So this is the console. So we have here three main, let me see if I can put this a little bit up. We have VMM services, fabric, library, jobs, and settings. That's the main things. So what we can do each with everyone. You can see here that the new version has something called tenants. And I have one tenant here, which I call My Cloud Admin. So you can actually come here and create user role. The tenants are actually user role. For example, I can have here dev admin or customer. So what this person are going to be, what he's going to be. I can go to my, for example, to the storage or the network guy, and they complain that they need to have access to this. I can create one user called network or fabric management. And I can give the network or storage person access to VMM. Or I can come here and say, okay, now I'm going to create a tenant administrator. So this tenant administrator is actually someone that will have full access to some kind of resource that I'm going to assign. I also can create like a region-only administrator and give to my boss, right? Because he wants to connect to VMM, but we don't want him to log on and screw up what we did. I hope there is no boss. We can actually have application administrator, which is what we call self-serve user. So that's where the, like a end user, normally I see this as a developer as well, or someone that needs to have a virtual machine and don't want to come to you and ask. So they can actually log on and deploy and create a virtual machine. But he will only create virtual machines based on templates or resources that we as administrator did allow him to do before. Example, I can say, when I create this user, I can say, okay, I'm gonna give for this user 5 points. And I'm gonna create a template in, for example, Windows 2012 with nothing, I give 1 point. I'm gonna create a SQL Server, and I'm gonna give to SQL Server 2 points. Which means this user, when he log on, he can create, for example, or 5 web servers, or 3 web servers in 1 SQL. Or something like this. Oops. So when I create the tenant administrator, it's going to ask me who is the members of this group. Let's see if I have... So I create one account here called Custom B. So which cloud does this customer are going to manage? I'll show you my why this. And here is where you set up the quotas. So today is unlimited. I can say, okay, this customer can only have, for example, one virtual CPU. If I do this, he can only have a virtual machine with one CPU. He cannot have a virtual machine with more than one CPU. And then you go. You can set up quota for memory storage points, where I just told, like, I want to give him 6 points, 5 points. And then every machine that I create, every template, I give a point. So that's going to go. So in order for him, for example, if he reached the 5 points, for him to create another one, he needs to remove the other machine. Just going to move that to unlimited, don't need to do anything. Virtual networks. Remember when I was talking about network virtualization? Here is where you actually set up, okay, this customer can use that network virtualization. You need to set up this. In my case, I do not have this. You don't need to have network virtualization. Resources. You can specify which resource this user are going to have as well. And here is actually permission. Although I give him the permission to use, for example, one virtual CPU, two virtual CPU, an amount of memory, or anything else, I actually can give him what kind of permissions. And why is this good? Because sometimes when you have real hosting and you have customers, you have someone that is the management, that is the administrator, but you also have someone that wants just to read, or someone that can actually stop and start a virtual machine, or someone that can only create virtual machine but cannot admin or something like this. So you can actually refine here what the person can do with that. So he can be, for example, author. He can do checkpoints. Checkpoints is previous, what it was renamed before, used to be called snapshots. He can remote desktop to this machine. He can be a local administrator, and there you go. So okay, he can be a lot of things here. No, no, just if I do this. If there will be quota for network virtualization as well. And this one. So I gave him all the permissions and everything, but actually when he needs to create a virtual machine, that virtual machine are going to be stored, for example, on a storage. When he needs to create a virtual network, he needs to have permission for this. So that's where here you need to assign, okay, when this user logs on and needs to perform some tasks, which account are he going to use? So that's where I come here and I say, okay, in this case, my case, I have like a host admin account, which is a domain account that I created, and I add this account a member of local administrators or every server, for example. You need to create an account for storage and so I create another one. So this is going to show the jobs. So here are my clouds. You can create any cloud, whatever you need. You just, I'm going to show this demo later for the cloud. Here are actually the physical hosts. So I have some like two servers running on a host group, which are called Sydney. I have another one on New Zealand. So you can create these folders with servers, and you can actually give permissions or what are going to be on every host that you created. Let me just go back to this. No. So I did show some of the features of System Center, how can I actually set up my environment, how can I did show this. So as I said, we can set up fiber channel, we can have cluster, Hyper-V, we can set up file servers. Networking, we used to have this spreadsheet where we actually keep the name of the servers and the IP, mask, gateway, right? So we don't need this anymore. That's odd. Everyone has a spreadsheet like this. And now everyone is uploading this spreadsheet to SharePoint. So they say, oh, no, now we have on SharePoint. Local centralization, everyone has access to this. That's cool. So, but we don't need this anymore. There is now a feature of Windows 2012 and 2012 R2 called IPAM, which is IP address management. You can install this as a feature. You just go to add roles. I'll show you later. And you can install this feature. This feature can be integrated with VMM, and every time you assign an IP to a virtual machine, there are two ways to do this. You can say, okay, my virtual machine, when I deploy, I'm going to receive an IP from my DHCP server. Or no, DHCP only gives IP to desktops. I have a pool of IP that I want to create, and every time a virtual machine is created, please get an IP from this pool. So it means you have two sources here, your DHCP server and VMM giving IP. How do I control this? IPAM. Please forget about spreadsheets or even Word. Some customers I know have a Word instead of having a spreadsheet. So you can have IPAM, which will actually help you with this. So logical networks, virtual switches, and service provider. So why I put service provider here is I was talking about this yesterday. I think the beauty of the System Center and the Microsoft framework is that you can have your on-prem, a service provider, and Azure. When I see these three, they are not disconnected. They are all connected. You can have a virtual machine running on-prem. You can go to System Center and ask System Center to migrate, move, live migrate the virtual machine from here to Azure or to your service provider, if your service provider does have the service provider capability. So it's integrated. He can provide you this. It's full. The machine is running SQL, Exchange, whatever. There is no downtime. You can live migrate. It's really cool. Yep.
Drive D is reserved for temporary storage, isn't it? So when you put a machine from your on-premise into Azure, what happens if you're using Drive D?
It's not a problem because you are migrating. And when you do this, it's actually press staging. It's only going to cut the connection as long as the machine has moved to Azure and vice versa. There's no problem with the drive. I can show you later if you want. So here is the way I also describe this in my book. And if you're going to find on Microsoft TechNet and MSDN, you find a lot of articles explaining the same thing. So that's why how I see on rack one, we have the management server. Then it's running operations manager, SPF, VMM, any other System Center component. Then we have the network virtualization and the tenant VMs, so, and my storage. So here on rack two, that's where I, or four, three, whatever the numbers, is where I have actually my production environment. Here, as you can see, is a, will be my cluster. This one, of course, depends on if you want a high availability or not for System Center, I strongly recommend you to have System Center as well on its own cluster. So the ideal environment is where you have a cluster for your management layer, two servers at minimum, and another cluster for your production. Not connected. I mean, not the same cluster. Okay? So here is some of the components for VMM. When you want to actually deploy the full System Center capability to actually do what I told before, I have a physical machine from scratch. I want to deploy that physical machine with Windows first, then add the Hyper-V role, then add the Hyper-V to the cluster, connect Hyper-V to the storage, and actually even to the network now. So as you can see here, I have Hyper-V servers, Citrix servers, and VMware. So, and I have VMM on the top. It's high available VMM. So like two VMs, for example, running on a cluster. I can manage Hyper-V, Citrix, and VMware from System Center. I have a WSaaS server and a WGS server. WSaaS is to update my servers. WGS is actually to deploy the image, is to deploy the OS. I have a SQL server, a library server, which is going to contain my templates, my ISOs, and everything like this. And App Controller. App Controller is actually the portal where I can, for example, migrate a virtual machine from on-prem to Azure or to my service provider. Yeah, that's another scenario. When you have Configuration Manager, you can integrate Configuration Manager with VMM. You can do this, yeah. Cool, great. So you have a better solution. Any question here? Good, everyone knows everything. So create a single storage and a management infrastructure first. This is just a repeat of what I told. Don't keep System Center on your production environment. Please keep it on a separated cluster, or if you think that is not big enough, at least on another machine that is not on your cluster. So use VMM service templates. I'm gonna show you one thing that I really love about System Center. So I had this customer last year, and he is a shop. By November to January, he set up a lot of machines, web servers, because he sells a lot during Christmas time. But after that, he turned off and down. The issue is, one, there is a lot of physical machines sitting there that was doing nothing for 7 to 8 months. Second issue, he do update the code between January, October, and then he needs to run some kind of scripts to upload and update all the servers and make sure that every single is the same. So the solution was to get rid of those, have a VMM cluster, and create what we call service template. When I do create a service template, I'm gonna create here. When you ask me, okay, you want to create a service template from an existing one or from a new one? I'm gonna create from a new one. So, I'm just create a name here. My web shop, whatever the name. Okay, it came with this screen showing, okay, you want to create a service template based on what? Blank, you want to create yourself, you want to create a single machine, or you want to create a two. So I'm gonna say two, three, plenty here, okay? So I'm gonna create with this one, for example, which is simple to explain. I forgot to put the name. So, now, as my son told me, I can play. My son thinks that I spend the whole day playing because it's so easy, and he see me playing this. Ah, I can do this. Yeah, Visio, right? That's actually playing Visio now. So what I can do here, it's really cool. I can say to this machine, look, that's my first machine. This machine is going to be my web server. So I'm going to set up the web server, and look what I have here. I'm telling System Center that I'm deploying one server, but if somehow the network load balance, which I need to have a network load balance for this, does detect an amount of traffic that needs more instance of this, please do deploy more. I'm at home, Christmas time, I don't even care. Please just deploy the VMs for me. How many? You're going to put a limit, of course. How many you need? So I don't actually need to pre-stage anything. I don't need to have my, between January and November, update my codes by October. I need to power on lots of machines. I just do this. Just create one. It's just consuming during this 8 months one single virtual machine. It's not consuming anything else. Or maybe more, depends on the traffic during the year. I'm not saying just one will be enough. And then when, if there is traffic coming, please just deploy more. And you don't actually need to update any code because it's going to use the same code.
What control have you got over when to deploy that second machine or third machine? Or
that's operations manager and natural load balancer will detect the traffic coming and will detect that. Orchestrator as well.
Do you set triggers once this threshold has been exceeded for this length of time? Or is that relying on the...
You can do this by using orchestrator. You can do this. You can create these rules. Then you need orchestrator. System center orchestrator. Okay, so this is one. I can come here. I can go and say, okay, let's add an application here. So this is the configuration for this web server. I can come here, say, prevent this machine from being migrated and scale out this machine, hardware configuration, processor, memory, blah, blah, blah. OS configuration, what I'm going to install on this machine, which OS. Computer name. Some people say, okay, you're going to have this, but what about the name of the machine? That is actually a nice tip here. So if you have this, Windows will create that crazy names, right? Which it's hard. But let's say your company does have a rule. You can have, for example, this is my web server, right? So web, then I have this. So when I do this, this is just an example. It will create a machine with name web 01. And the next one 02, 03, until 99. That's product key and roles. So I can come here and say, okay, for this machine, please do install somewhere is web server. So I'm just saying, please, when you deploy this virtual machine, set up the web server as well. Oh, seriously? No idea. What just happened here? Something is blinking here. No idea. Oops, I think I know. The cable just fall out.
Sorry. My fault. Cool. Sorry.
So you can actually set up features if you need. Of course, you need to join the machine to the domain as well, right? You need to say here, please join the machine to the domain. That's the credentials to add the machine to the domain. And if you need any script, anything else that needs to be done apart from setting up the web server and doing the things maybe we need, you can actually upload the script and answer files. So this is to set up my web server. On the other machine, I can come here. I'm just going to do on this one. And you can say, oh, this machine is a SQL server. And you can just add the SQL Server. Come on. And you can put the name of SQL, product ID, instance, configuration. Here, on media source, you need to put where actually is the media for SQL to be used to install. Yeah, that is one, yes. That is one thing that, if you guys know how to deploy SQL, that is one thing that I use here. Instead of doing this, when we do the first installation of SQL, and actually can create that as well manually, we can create an answer file, which says what I want, which feature I want to install with SQL. It's just a text file that has everything. I normally use that script here instead, which is called SQL Server Configuration File. I normally use that instead of passing any parameters here. You can actually say set the account and everything. Instead of informing everything here, I just go on this one here, and I do select browse, and I do select a configuration file that I can create manually before. I think that's a much better approach. So this is the feature that I really like on 2012 System Center, is the service templates. Microsoft did release some service templates, some samples, on the Microsoft System Center website. So please, if you're interested in this, please have a look. It's a really interesting feature. Oh, I got confused. So this is the network overview. Here. So we have the management, where we have operations manager, VMM, SQL, SPF. That SPF is for me to connect with my service provider if I want to have a cloud provider which allows me to upload and connect with them and actually have a single environment, if we say so. Then we have the public internet, that's the corporate. That's my tenant. See, I can have customers or dev, test, production. Or another one that I did for a school, this could be, for example, students and staff having this running on the same environment, and that they can actually have, that would be funny because one day we found this student had trying to access the teacher, and the teacher computer was with the same IP of his iPad. And it's possible because you can have this with this. And you have the Azure pack, which is actually managing everything from a portal like Azure. Isolation, which is the network, how it works. So storage. I did talk here about connecting to storage like Dell, NetApp, HP. But how about to reduce costs if I do not have expensive storage? How about if I tell you that you can have performance and reliability, resiliency, anything you can think about storage without a storage, without having a branded storage. So one of the solutions that I am working with, it's called RDMA and connection to JBOD and storage spaces. So how that works? I think there was a session here actually talking about this. Is we have one that I'm using at the moment is DataOn. So I have these JBOD disks. It's just JBOD disks, it's nothing else. And I have RDMA cards. So RDMA cards today, I'm buying it with 40 giga. So today normally we have 1 giga iSCSI, 10 giga iSCSI, very expensive storage. Fibre channel 6, someone was telling me that is now a 16 giga fibre channel. Very expensive. So how about a 40 giga connection to your storage instead of 16 or 10 or 1? So that's RDMA. You can have RDMA connection to your disks and having two RDMAs on your physical server connecting to this. Easy. It's called, have a look about this solution. It's called storage space. It's using this one here. That's exactly what this is doing, talking about. You are going to have a scale out file server. You have like 2-3 servers, depends on your size. And you're going to have or a serial attached storage or a JBOD disks. It's reliable and it's in terms of performance, it's just 4 or 5 times faster than the normal one that we get with 10 giga. It's just think 10 giga 40. It's just crazy. InfiniBand, it's 56. And the price, God, 4 times less. Instead of paying 75 grand for a big storage, you can pay on the entire solution 25 grand. That's a huge save. So we have storage space. Please do look after this. This is a big thing on Windows 2012 R2 and System Center. It's exactly like this. You have a physical storage, and you expose those to storage spaces. That is no RAID. It's RAID 1, RAID 2, RAID 5. No, it's storage space. It's another solution. So that's fiber channel switch. We're exposing this now to the guest VM. I did already show the VM console. Let me. Good. So, and again, reduction provision time for VM. I did talk about this on my last presentation, my last session yesterday. It's OGX. OGX, you need to have support from your storage vendor. So this, you can speed the deployment of a server or a VM machine or even migrating from one storage to another. Okay? You really need support from your storage in order to have this. You need to have OGX. Guest clustering shared virtual hard disks. Just one thing about this. Most of the time here I'm talking about virtual hard disk. So VHD. Microsoft did change the format, did improve the format from VHD to VHDX, which is the new format. So then the format VHD goes up to 2 terabytes. The VHDX goes to 64 terabytes. That is no precedent. There is no competition on this. Sorry, VMware, it only goes to 4. We go to 64. That is huge. We did this, Microsoft did this, because some of the customers were complaining, okay, we have a SQL Server, and we have Exchange, and we need more than this. And they were going to, instead of having a virtual hard disk, they were actually going directly to the storage, having a VM connected to the storage, which is called pass-through. What's the problem? What is the problem of having pass-through? I personally don't like pass-through at all. I do not recommend. When we do have pass-through, we actually lose one of the two things. One, backup. I cannot backup the virtual hard disk anymore because there is no virtual hard disk. You're connecting the virtual machine directly to your storage. You need to backup on your storage. You do not have the ability to take snapshots of virtual hard disk, or you do not have the virtual hard disk anymore. That's one thing. And as well, to replicate, to actually move the VMs, or do a replica and things like this, you lose all of this. So please try to avoid as much as you can pass through. That is no, I can't see a scenario today for a pass through. Someone in the past said, it's because of performance. Sorry. 3-4%? I don't think that's enough to say, okay, let's go pass through because of 3 or 4% maximum that I'm going to get instead of a fixed disk. Another thing is, we used to have this, fixed disks or dynamic. I will tell you the difference, maybe 10%, but why I do recommend fixed disk is not because of the performance, It's because sometimes we create a virtual LAN on the storage with 2 terabytes, for example, and we create a virtual machine dynamically, 40 giga, and the size is not going to be 40 because it's dynamic expanded. So then we create 200 virtual machines with the same size, and we just don't realize that at one day, all those 200 will have 40 giga. 40 multiplied by 200 is more than 2 terabytes. So that's when the issue comes. So if you do monitor proactive your storage, I don't see an issue. But because I know that most of us don't do this, so please have fixed disks, because not because of performance. 10% in some cases depends on your storage. It's not even bother. Web server, even Exchange today, if we look at the way the Exchange is working, it's so great. Exchange used to rely on disks before. The recommendation before, I remember 2003, was if you do not have SAS disks, you are in trouble. Now, at home I have an external USB connected to my IPv7 running my Exchange. I have no issues at all. I would never imagine running this. I'm not saying for you, please. Don't take this for granted. Don't do this. It's not recommended. It's just, in my case, it's just a lab. But it works good. So you can have Exchange today running on a SATA disk without issues. So 10%, 5%, that's not about performance. I use fixed disk because I think that if I create today a machine with 40 giga, 100 giga, 200 giga, will be that size. If I need to increase, then I need to look at my storage. If there is space, I can just add and increase. You can increase this. You can actually do this when the machine is running. You can increase, which is good. So that's some of the things that I do. So you can have the shared virtual hard disks. You can expose the virtual hard disk, and then you can create your SQL cluster with virtual hard disk today. Let me just create a show this cloud thing here. Screen. So to create the cloud, it's pretty much the same there as I did for the user. So I can come here and say students, for example, or the name you want. And you can say, okay, my cloud will have resources from a group of servers on Sydney and a group of servers in Auckland. For example, you can even say, from a VMware resources pool, I can create a cloud of a mix of servers, okay? I can create some Hyper-V servers, some VMware servers. I can do this. So this is, we're going to say, okay, that's my cloud. My cloud are going to use a particular network. For example, this one. No, let's put my lab network. And if there is a load balance or not. Okay. If you want to have the service template working the way I just told you, you need a network load balance. You can use the Microsoft network load balance, or you can use, for example, Citrix or F5 or Camp. A network load balancer that has VMM connectivity. So you need to have this so you can actually manage your network load balance as well from VMM. So in my case, I'm not using any network load balance. What's this? And you can actually say, okay, I want on this cloud to have traffic, for example, this, and say I'm going to have, for example, link on this cloud. And that's the amount of storage that you have, if you want to have. Where you're going to save these VMs. And if you have today, so I have 32 gig of RAM, 2.4 giga, unlimited VMs, you can set up all of this. Next. Oops, sorry. So, what is the capability of this cloud? Which servers are going to be on this cloud? You can say, okay, I want to have Hyper-V, Citrix, and VMware servers on this cloud. You can do this. Just one thing about this is you can have, but you cannot live migrate or migrate a virtual machine that is running on a VMware server to Azure or to your service provider. Okay? That's why I still think that standardizing your hypervisor to Microsoft is the solution, because you can actually have this. And why I'm saying this, I think for marketing things like, no. I still think the cycle of a physical machine is 3 to 5 years. Every time you need to replace this, you're going to go back to your business and you say, why I need to spend that amount of money on a physical machine if a cloud can provide me this for less? So that's the balance that you need to think about. If you have on your environment something that will prevent you going here, then you have a problem. So if you have something that can allow you to go to a service provider or to Azure, and vice versa, because sometimes you say, okay, I have this running there, but I think maybe running here will be better, you can just move back. So the ability to go back and to move this mobility is just incredible, and you only have this with Microsoft. I'm using the wrong. So I'm going to say this one is going to have Hyper-V. So I create another cloud. So then you can have here students and another one. Then you can assign virtual machines to this. Let me just show one thing here on Fabric. So when you have your Fabric, let me just go to networking. You can see here that you can add a network load balancing, a network service, a port classification, and a port profile. On System Center 2012 R2, there is another feature which is a gateway. I need a gateway to do network virtualization. For example, as I said, you can live migrate from your on-prems to your service provider. In order to do this, you need a gateway. Today, there are two gateways. One is the Microsoft that comes with 2012 R2 System Center. It's a software gateway. The other one is using a physical one, like F5. So you can have this. F5 does connect with VMM, so you can actually as well manage your gateway from here. So you need a gateway in order for you to have the ability. For example, I'm saying provider, but it could be site one, site two. You can have a data center here in Auckland, another data center in Wellington, or a data center in Sydney. You want to have both transparency, so you can actually have a virtual machine migrating from there and with the same IP and things like this. So you need a gateway. Oops. So that's the IP address management I was talking about. You have an IP pool, you can assign the IP pools to a virtual machine, or you can have the virtual machine getting IPs from a UDP server. Managing compliance from, I'll show this later today. There is, I think 11:55, I'm gonna show more about monitoring with Operations Manager. I think that'll be better to show this one. There is where I can actually monitor my entire environment and find out if there is any issue or not. And from VMM, I can actually understand if any of my machines are not compliant with updates. It will show this machine does not comply. It needs the update X, Y, and Z. For this, I need to connect short with WSAS or with Configuration Manager, and Configuration Manager will be connected to WSAS. So either way, you need to have WSAS connectivity. Actually, let me show here. Come on. Oh. So on this screen here, when you go to settings and you see System Center settings, this screen is very important. This is where you actually connect VMM to Operations Manager. So you need to set up this. So you need to install some management packs and things like this, and this will show, for example, what's happening, what's not, if there is any warning. So which management pack I have installed, and SQL Server. If you want to have some reports, you need to enable SQL Server report services on a server. Okay, you need to have this, for example, to have the chargeback reports. Just to finalize, I did not forget about the book. I'm just going to ask some. That's the network virtualization. So, I think this screen does resume everything about showing how the network virtualization works. We have two physical hosts here. I have a customer, Fabricant, customer A, and I have another customer. I have my DNS, SQL, and domain controller running on the customer, but I have some servers running here and another server running there. See, there is two physical servers, in this case just an example with two, but different customers running on that. And there is no way that this machine will see this. There is no VLAN. That machine cannot ping, cannot have access to that one. No VLAN. And can have the same IP if the customer decides to, because I don't need to have control of which IP the customer have here. I have control of the IP of this machine, okay? Network virtualization is about managing IP on the virtual environment, not on the physical. Please do not have the same IP on the physical, because then you're going to screw up all your network. Someone will be very mad at you because you're going to put same IP on the physical machines. Don't do this. It's on the virtual environment. So you see that you need a gateway here. That gateway could be a Microsoft gateway, could be F5. At this moment, only those two. I hope there will be more, but at this moment, that's the only two that I know. So you see there is a VPN between the customer. Oops. My time. Sorry, just two more minutes. So that's a VPN between the customer and your environment, or from site A to here. For example, could be from Wellington to Auckland, or from Sydney to Auckland. Could be any site you can do this. And these VMs here, you can move from here to there. You don't need to worry about IPs and things like this. So is there any question? I think there are too many things to talk about and not enough time. I just passed my time. Any question here? Can VMM spin up what, sorry?
Create
Please, those leaving, don't forget to fill up the evaluation. It's really important. Can VMM, no. VMM, he just asked if VMM can deploy directly to Azure. You need App Controller to do this. The way you're asking for, it's on-prem. You can have services templates on Azure, but you need an App Controller or Azure Service Pack for this, which is another, it's a web portal that you can have it on your on-prem, so you can do this. I forgot to show this. This is actually the App Controller. I lost the connection to Azure. It's a website, so you can actually connect. You can see the virtual machine which virtual machine are running on-prem or in Azure, and you can actually move between those. But yeah, that service, that feature, it's a VMM. Yes. Yeah, so you need to build the service template before. Yeah, that's something that I have been asking as well. So if I have my solution running, how can I import that solution? No, sorry, so you need to deploy first. You need to make sure you create the solution first. Maybe someone will write some kind of script or something. Maybe have a look. I did not look at yet at TechNet for this, but maybe someone will create some kind of script that will actually import the template, your environment, and create the templates.
You swap over to another set of web servers. So you have one set that you've got currently in production, another one that you've got a template for, you're building out, then swap the DNS name across to the other set to bring that lot online.
Didn't get your question, sorry. Can I swap?
So you've got a template and you build up all these web servers.
Okay.
That's in use. You've got a DNS name that points to them, so it comes in through load balancing.
Okay, yes.
Now you want to change the code that's there.
I just export the template, create another template for another name.
Yep.
But on this, his case, what he was asking is, I have already my environment running. I do not have the template. I need to create a template before. So, and some customers will have this, right? I already have everything deployed. I just deployed System Center today. How can I actually import what I have today as a service template? So that's some, I hope someone will write that. I'm really keen to this. Thank you for coming. Please fill up the evaluation. It's really important. Thanks. I know I'm out of time.